Well, we begin this week an analysis of a new book. We don't agree with the book. It's called God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs. It's by Dr. Michael D. Sproul, S-P-R-O-U-L, who's a pastor of the Tri-State Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. He's also, I believe, the president of a school out there, a college and perhaps seminary. God's Word Preserved. I have a total of 280 things that I want to talk about on this book. It's a large book. It's some 400 pages in length, actually a total of 405 pages in length. We have these 280 points to cover. This pastor is a pastor that has graduated from Calvary Baptist Seminary in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. He says he's for the so-called majority Greek text. And we want to analyze his book. The first by the title, God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs. The Word, now that's just the common, ordinary message only, the thoughts, the ideas, but not the words. The very words of God preserved. He has a question mark as far as the title of this book. We do not believe that he believes that we have preserved for us every word, Hebrew word, Aramaic word, and Greek word. And so he says God's Word rather than God's words preserved. As far as historic or definitions, this is point number one, the title. The definition and defense of historic separatist definitions and beliefs. He believes that historically the Baptists haven't quibbled about the text of the Septuagint and the King James Bible and the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that underlie it. We believe that's false and fallacious. So that's point number one, his preserved word, God's word preserved rather than his words. Certainly that's a distinction that we ought to make. He has a table of contents there about what he's going to take up. He has man's problems with God's method of communication. Chapter 2 is God's initial communications to man, communication to man. Number 3, chapter 3, God's communication through the generations. Chapter 4, God's communication through multitude of counselors. Chapter 5, God's communication through an unclean thing, question mark. And then chapter 6, God's communication through accurate information. Chapter 7, God's communication by keeping his word safe. And chapter 8, God's communication through spirit-filled leaders. And so he has 8 chapters, basically. Point number 2 that I would like to talk about is on page number 13, where Pastor Sproul says, from the outset, let me make it perfectly clear that I love my old Schofield King James Version. I preach out of it every Sunday. End of quote. Let me just pause right there. When people say they love their old King James Bible, whether it's a Schofield or something else, be careful. Be careful. I love it too, but I stand for it. I defend it. He loves it and doesn't defend it. He doesn't defend the Greek words that underlie it. And so that's the point I want to bring out. Point number 2, he says he loves the King James. Well, if he loves it, why doesn't he love the words, Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic words that underlie it? That's my question. Point number 3 out of 280 points I'd like to talk about on page number 14, where he says, I write from the perspective of a preference for the Byzantine majority text. My purpose is not to defend that position necessarily, but I am certain some of my beliefs will be apparent. I preach every week from the old King James Bible, a version that relies on Blaney's 1769 revision. Then he talks about his college. He's also the president of the International Baptist College at International Baptist College right there in Tempe, Arizona, as well as being the pastor of the Tri-State Baptist Church in Tempe. And he has a ministry there at that college. I believe he's the president of it. And so he says, used currently the 1894 Textus Receptus of Scrivener. Scrivener's 1894 Textus Receptus in the classroom, and our academy only uses Blaney's revision. End of quote. That's point number 3. So what he's saying there is that they use the text, the words of the New Testament from Scrivener's Textus Receptus that underlie our King James Bible in the New Testament. He says that basically he defends only the majority text or Byzantine majority text, which changes those Textus Receptus words in about 1,800 places. Well, I'm glad he's not a Westcott and Hort man, but by the time he finishes his condemnation of some of the things, you'll be wondering about really what does he believe. So I'm glad that he uses the King James Bible, the old Schofield King James Bible, and preaches from that every Sunday. I'm glad for that. I'm glad his school. I'm glad his International Bible College, and which is the ministry of the church, currently uses Scribner's. I hope they continue to use Scribner's Textus Receptus. And the Academy only uses Blaney's Revision as far as the King James Bible is concerned. I hope they keep it. But you see, to have it and use it and then undermine it, or to say, well, maybe it's not really too good, we all don't want to defend it inexclusively, in its sense exclusively, then we have to be careful. All right, point number four, out of 280, also on page 14, Sproul says, however, he says, I do not believe either Blaney's revision or Scribner's printed Greek text is inerrant. Now, let me just pause right there. I don't believe the King James Bible is inerrant. I don't use that. I don't think it has any translational errors, but I don't use the word inerrant or infallible. I use that for the words that underlie it. God's Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic words, those are the words that I maintain are infallible and inerrant. But he says he doesn't believe either one, even Scribner's, is inerrant. In other words, he has a question about it. Well, why? He apparently doesn't want people to think that it's without mistakes. Well, if he thinks the King James is with mistakes and the Greek text that underlies it is with mistakes and not perfect, not really valuable, why use it? That's somewhat hypocritical, it would seem to me. He says on that point number four, however, I do believe that both Scribner's Greek text and Blaney's revision of the King James are good and faithful to the original writings of the apostles and prophets whom the Holy Spirit inspired. Well, I'm glad he says that they're faithful, but point number five out of 280 that I take issue with, he says the writings of the apostles and prophets whom the Holy Spirit inspired. Now notice, the Holy Spirit did not inspire men. He didn't inspire apostles. He did not inspire prophets. The word inspiration means theopneustos, or God breathed. God did not breathe out prophets or apostles. He did not breathe them out. That's what inspiration means. God's breathing out. What he did was to breathe out his words. Hebrew words, Aramaic words, and a few Aramaic words, and Greek words in the New Testament. Now, that's what inspiration means. And Mr. Sproul has got this all messed up as far as thinking that the apostles were inspired or breathed out. And the prophets of the Old Testament are new. This is an error. At point number six out of 280, he says, however, concerning, or rather ascribing inerrancy to either the English translation of 1611 and or any of its revisions, or to Scribner's 1894 Greek text, and so on, he doesn't like that at all. So he doesn't like to have that as far as inerrant. Well, I would say that the words that are in the Scribner's Greek words that are preserved for us certainly are infallible words and inerrant words because of the words that underlie the originals and are copies of the original, I believe, that God gave to us at the beginning in the apostolic era. So, inerrancy for the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic that underlie our King James Bible, but not necessarily for our King James English. It's made of man, it's translated by man, and it as fairly as a man, but I don't believe there's translational mistakes, but to say that it's infallible or inerrant, I don't use those terms except for the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic that God spoke. He makes no mistakes. All right, number seven, point number seven out of 280, on page 14 again. He says, the first appearance of the title Textus Receptus, the received text, occurred for promotional purposes, not as a statement of doctrine or doctrinal orthodoxy. End of quote. He's talking about the different men that coined this phrase as far as Textus Receptus. It was in 1631, 1633, the Elsevier edition. They said, this is a text which has been received by all. A textum receptum omnibus by all. Received by all. In other words, it was a text that had been passed down from the apostolic times, and that's where this expression comes from. He says the first appearance, but he almost implies that that's when the Textus Receptus originated, just because they used that phrase, the received text or text that has been received by all. But it certainly recognized it was a name given to it in 1633, but certainly was not beginning at that year. That was simply the time that it was recognized and called by that name. It originated with Paul and Peter and John and James and all the other writers, authors of our Greek New Testament. Let's go on to point number 8 out of 280. I said 380 before, 280. It's found on page 15, where Mr. Sproul says, quote, whatever textual position the heirs of our fundamental fathers might adopt, their belief system should never involve denigrating or attacking the fathers who gave them life and breath. End of quote. Well, what's he saying here at point number 8 out of 280? He says, we don't attack the fathers. That is the ancestors of the fundamentalist movement. My friend, if the fathers were wrong, we must attack them, or at least attack their beliefs. We don't have to attack them personally. But we must attack their theology, their doctrines, their beliefs. If they're wrong doctrines, wrong theology, wrong beliefs, we must attack them and defend the Scriptures. As Jude 1 and verse 3 says, that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith, with an article there, means the body of doctrine. And if we're good preachers and good pastors and good Christians, in fact, any of the Christians, we should defend that faith and attack the unbelief or the other things that people deny in regard to that faith. What point number 9 out of 280? Also found on page 14. Sproul says this. He says, the Holy Spirit does not need the craftiness of men's reasoning, either in misquoting or omitting vital information, for his truth so to be vindicated. Correctly citing a source's intent and accurately explaining the position of an individual with whom one disagrees is vital in a Christian discussion. End of quote. And that's what I seek to do here at our Bible for Today of the Air, defending our King James Bible. I never seek to misquote any of our opponents, and I will not seek to misquote Dr. Michael Sproul in his book, God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs. That is goes without saying. I do not want to misquote. I want to quote him exactly as I have done throughout the ministry of this radio program and of our Bible for Today as such. Let's go on to point number 10 out of 280 things I'd like to talk about on page 15 in a footnote, footnote number 7. He says, as the reader will better understand, after reading chapter 4, the position of inerrancy only in the original writings, with the modern Christian having accurate language copies, was the position of John Gill. End of quote. Well, the modern Christian having accurate language copies is correct. In fact, John Gill, I believed that there was not only accurate but inerrant copies of those original writings. God promised to preserve his words, Hebrew, a little Aramaic, and Greek words, inerrantly, and he did preserve them. That's our belief. And some of our fundamentalist brethren do not believe that. They do not believe that the words have been preserved inerrantly. John Gill, I'm sure, believed that. He also believed that the originals were inerrant and infallible, as far as Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. By point number 11 out of 280, on page number 16, Sproul says, I write now eagerly, or rather not eagerly, I write not eagerly, but out of a broken spirit for my people who are receiving unsolicited videos and books that attack the leadership of our church and its heritage. End of quote. Well, when somebody in his church is wrong, their error should be attacked, not the person. When Mr. Sproul, Pastor Sproul, is wrong, his position should be attacked. And that's what we seek to do here in this broadcast of our Bible for Today ministry, is to answer the position. And we're sorry that he brings in people that do not have the proper position, or if that seems to be implied here, it seems like he's bringing in people to his church that perhaps do not agree with his position in regard to these matters. But let's go on to number 12, point number 12 out of 280, also on page 16, where Sproul says this. He says, they sense the dangers in starting down the slippery slope to Ruckmanism, which they perceive is the direction of the KJV-only movement. They are concerned about the dogmatism and the spirit of every Christian of the many Christians who are involved in that movement, end of quote. Well, let me pause right there. In the first place, our position on the King James Bible and the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic words that underlie it is not a Ruckmanite position at all. And that he's saying that the people of the King James only movement tends toward Ruckmanism. That's why I don't like the term King James only. King James only, it puts into its own corner all the Ruckman positions as well as some of the positions that are sane and sensible. And I don't use that term. King James. I use only the King James Bible for preaching, for memory work, for study, but I reject the term King James only, which has on its overtones the Ruckman position, which I detest and disagree with completely and authoritatively. Now let's go on to point number 13 out of 280 on page 16 also, where Sproul says this. He talks about the accurate preservation of the Word of God without adopting an extreme position that misrepresents history and misinterprets biblical passages. Now notice, he does not talk about the preservation of the words of God, simply the Word of God. Like his Bob Jones counterparts in their books that we have analyzed on the radio and in booklets answering their materials, they use the word of God instead of words of God, and the Word of God to them simply means the message of God, the thoughts, the ideas, but not the words. And I believe that Sproul is using the same terminology here. All right, let's go on to point number 14 out of 280, page 17, where Pastor Sproul says, however, uninvited videos and books attacking separatism's historic position, which reflects the beliefs of our church's leadership for over 30 years, have regularly invaded my sheepfold. So he doesn't like anybody coming in and giving them or having them buy videos or some kind of things or audio tapes that do not reflect his position. So that's what he's saying there in 14. I think that everybody has a right to listening to what they wish to listen to. If they need truth and they don't have it in their own church, they should be supplied with it. But unsolicited video, what's wrong with that? The newspaper comes out unsolicited. If you want to buy it, you get what's in there unsolicited. Programs on the radio come in unsolicited. You hear what's there or television. Let's go on to point number 15 out of 280 on page number 21, where Sproul says this. The various KJV-only views are discussed, but only to illustrate their departure from the biblically and historically accurate definitions and beliefs of the separatist scholars. Let me go on to point number 15. From out of 280 on page 21, where Pastor Sproul says, for 20 years I've read the discussion of versions in texts. Then he says in that paragraph, however, with the advent of David Otis Fuller's book, Which Bible, in 1970, my generation began the discussion that today affects Baptists when they move to a new city and begin searching for a church home. End of quote. Well, that's true. Dr. David Otis Fuller's book, Which Bible, influenced me. Got me on the right track. I was taught at Dallas Theological Seminary only the Westcott and Hort Greek text. I didn't know there was another text until I read Dr. Fuller's book, and he was quoting and condensing Dean Burgon's books, and so we've been reading and loving these things ever since. Point number 17 out of 280 on page 21, he says, talks about when he visits our first-time attendees. Here's what they say. Quote, what do you believe about the King James Version? Unfortunately, for better or worse, the issue of versions, to many people, is now the only doctrinal reason for joining or leaving a church. End quote. Well, what's wrong with asking about what version you use? I would not like to be going to a church, and I have not gone to a church and been a member of a church or joined a church that uses some other version other than the King James Bible. Why should I? This is important. When people ask me where they should go to church in this particular locale, I say, check the yellow pages, check the churches, call them up, talk to the pastor, ask him what version he uses, what he believes about the scriptures, about inerrancy and infallibility. We ask him about the doctrine of prophecy, perhaps, some of the other things that he believes. But why to go to a church whose Greek text that underlies the New Testament is 8,000 places different than the text that underlies the King James Bible? Why go to a place a church that has a text, the Greek text, for instance, like the NIV or the NASB or the Revised Standard, New Revised Standard, and so on. Why go to a church that has doctrinal passages, 356 doctrinal passages, that are unfair doctrine and false doctrine in them because they've used the wrong Greek text as a foundation in the New Testament? Why go to a church who has a Greek New Testament that underlies it, that drops out 2,886 Greek words, 2,886 Greek words, such as the NIV does, such as the New American Standard, such as the Revised Standard, New Revised, and so on, the English Standard Version. So these are some of the things I say, why not ask that question? Point number 18 out of 280, also on page 21, Pastor Sproul says this. He says, when I refer to KJV only, I'm not exclusively referring to a theological position, but I'm also referring to a spirit. KJV onlyism is much like New Evangelicalism in that it is a spirit or mood. It is a spirit that believes that it must separate from or attack other brothers in Christ for their choices on the issue of texts and translations. End of quote. My friend, I don't attack the brothers. I attack the theology and the beliefs that these brothers have. I'm not attacking this man. I'm attacking some of the beliefs that he has in this book, talking about 280 things, 80 different items. And this is item number 18. And there's nothing wrong with attacking a false belief, a false doctrine. That's what it means to be earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints, which is once delivered. So we're on to point number 19 out of 280, on page 22. He says, I'm not asking, or using rather, KJV only as a pejorative or degrading description of one who has a strong preference for Blaney's 1769 revision and loves it, yet can fellowship with other fundamentalists who may not prefer that revision as strongly, end of quote. So now he makes a distinction between those who use the King James and believe in it, those that don't believe in it as strongly, and can still have fellowship with him. See, that's the fact. He wants you to have a fence that is down as far as cooperation with all kinds of other versions and perversions, rather than exclusively as a church using the King James Bible. He can preach out of a King James Old Schofield Reference Bible all he wants, but if he's got a church that's filled, this Tri-City Baptist Church that's filled with other versions all over the church when they meet, there's some problems there, and I don't agree with that at all. If they want to have a unity, they should have a unity in the version which they use as a church. If he claims to use his King James Bible, that should be the unity. Every single one that comes into that church should carry with him a King James Bible in the New Testament. And that's what I believe on that point. Let's go on to point number 20 out of 280, where Dr. Sproul says this, I have friends on all sides of this issue, and I am determined not to separate from them. End of quote. Well, my friend, but we don't separate necessarily from them either if they have a different version. I don't go to the church. I can't go to a church that's not unified in their Bible. But they're the ones that have been separated from us in that resolution of the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, which is strongly held, the leadership is held strongly by Bob Jones graduates and possibly teachers and so on. That group had a resolution which said if we who believe the King James Bible and the received text and Greek manuscripts that underlie it and the Masoretic text, those of us who hold that position, unless we repent of that position, they claim we're trying to, give them libel or slander, which we don't. We quote the truth. But those who have that position without repenting of it, we should treat them as Titus chapter 3, as really it says heretics. A heretic after the first and second admonition reject. And so they're calling fundamental Bible-believing Christian believers heretical who stand for the King James Bible and won't repent of it. Why should I repent about something that I have no problem with, that I agree with, that is true? I'm not going to repent of truth. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, and we'll send it to you upon request. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get it on request. We'll send you free ones. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. My friends, I want to continue this. We're almost up to Chapter 1, Man's Problems with God's Method of Communication. We're interviewing and reviewing this book and critiquing this book, God's Word Preserved, a defense of historic separatist definitions and beliefs. Dr. Michael D. Sproul is the author. He's the pastor of Tri-City Baptist Church and also one of the teachers, if not the founder and the pastor there at the school that we've talked about before. We're going to continue this. We think it's vital. He's gotten himself into a lot of difficulty, we believe, and a lot of different problems and so on. He attacks the speaker that you're listening to now. He attacks others, good men, as far as their beliefs are concerned, with the received Greek text and the Masoretic Hebrew text underlying the Old Testament. My friend, I'll see you next time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today on the air, read each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 986. 986 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Hebrew Old Testament text, traditional text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452. Or email us at bft@biblefortoday.org. That's email bft@biblefortoday.org. Our website is biblefortoday.org. Simply biblefortoday.org. Or you have Monday through Friday, and all 7 days a week, actually, from Romans up into Revelation, verse by verse, preaching from the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its ninth printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible or call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then if you ordered your Defined King James Bible published for the Bible for Today, uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes, it's deluxe. Genuine leather, choice of 12-point, large point, print, 10-point, medium print, and over 54,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends, the Defined King James Bible. All right, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We're beginning a second week here and looking at this book, 400-and-some pages, God's Word Preserved, from Dr. Michael Sproul. He's the president of the International Bible College and also pastor of the Tri-State Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. Tempe, Arizona is where he's stationed. And we've got 280 things we want to talk about. And we're right now on point number 21 out of 280, which is on page number 24, where Mr. Sproul says this, amazingly, many people also have little or no training in their matters dogmatic. In these matters, rather, dogmatize quickly on this subject. And, of course, so he says people who don't have any education or learning in this subject, they dogmatize very early, and they seem to know everything about it. Well, I'm not dogmatizing because I don't have a lot of background. I'm dogmatizing because I believe firmly in what I'm speaking, what I'm saying. When he says he doesn't want to dogmatize about it, I wonder if he's sure of what he believes. If he believes something strongly, he should shout it out and dogmatize regarding it. And he says those that don't have any training like to dogmatize. Listen, I've got a lot of training, and I dogmatize, and I don't know whether he does or not. Let's go on to point number 22 out of 280. Found here on page 24. He says, after 20 years and literally thousands of hours of study, I'm aware of the fact that there are many things I do not know. Well, that's a good admission. I agree with that. I've spent many years as well, too, many more than 20. And there's things that I don't know either. So that's a good agreement. We agree with that on that point, 22. Let's go to page 23, point number 23, rather, out of 280. We begin chapter 1. Chapter 1 here, which is on page number 25. We're analyzing this book, God's Word Preserved, by Dr. Michael D. Sproul, pastor of Tri-City Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. International Baptist College is, I think, the president or one of the teachers there, or one of the leaders. And Man's Problems with God's Method of Communication. That's the title of chapter number 1. Under that, he says, the theological movements of the late 19th and early 20th century and defining KJV-only views. Defining KJV-only views. Well, we don't go along with that term, as we said before many times. King James Version only is a Ruckman-Smear term that is pronounced upon those of us who have a healthy stand on the King James Bible. We do not believe the King James Bible has been given by inspiration of God. We don't believe that it's God-breathed. It's translated. It's translation from the only authorized, preserved Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And we believe those Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words are inspired words of Hebrew, inspired words of Aramaic, inspired words of Greek. They're inerrant words, and that's where we put our inerrancy. And we don't like this King James-only view, which says the King James Bible is another inspired or God-breathed version, and therefore we can almost correct the original Hebrew and Greek by the King James Bible, because it's a next inspiration, a second inspiration. We don't believe that at all. That's Ruckmanism, and so King James only we don't go along with. Point number 24 out of 280. He says, he quotes John Gill. He says, inspiration, quote, inspiration is to be understood of the scriptures as in the original languages in which they were written and not of translation. I agree with it. Inspiration is to be understood of the scriptures as in the original languages in which they were written, not of translation. The translations, whether it's French, German, English, Spanish, French, whatever, those translations are translations from the words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. They're not inspired. They're not inspiration. And Gill is right. Inspiration is limited to those original languages in which they were written. God breathed out those words, Hebrew, Aramaic, little Aramaic, and Greek words. All right, so much for the introduction to chapter 1. Let's go on to point number 25 out of 280, found over here on page 28 of this book, where he says this. He says, into this theological breach rode a group of courageous men. Today we call them the Fundamentalist Fathers. End of quote. Into the breach of modernism, these Fundamentalist Fathers. Now, my point is this. This man, Pastor Sproul, is exalting the Fundamentalist Fathers as if they were perfect, as if they were God's apostles and God's prophets. My friend, if these fathers are imperfect, if their doctrines are imperfect, we should correct their doctrines. We should thwart the doctrines. We should correct those doctrines and teachings of these so-called fundamentalist fathers. Yes. We should not canonize them and call them the only saints that there are. We should inspect them, inspect their views carefully. He talks about the Fundamentals, that book that cost quite a few dollars to produce, some $300,000 to produce the Fundamentals. And as if these men and the Fundamentals back in 1920, that they're the only place we should turn for truth. These articles in the Fundamentals. And if we depart from those articles, we're not in the truth. I don't buy that at all. Truth didn't stop in 1920. The understanding of the Bible did not stop in 1920. Let's go on to point number 26 out of 280, page 29. There's a footnote. Number 11, he says, James B. Williams, he quotes this from James B. Williams and Randolph Shaler, God's Word in Our Hands, the Bible Preserved for Us. And he says, this is an excellent history on fundamentalism as it is applied to the KJV-only controversy. End of quote. My friend, that book is not an excellent history of anything. It's a scandalous attack on this speaker and others who stand with us as far as standing with the King James Bible and various things. they pronounce us as misinformers in that God's Word in our hands. I've answered that. I call it fundamentalist misinformation in the Bible versions. And if you're interested in an answer to that, this book, God's Word in Our Hands, was written by those that are graduates of Bible Dungeon University, some of them teachers of Bob Jones University, or those that go along with the teachings there at Bob Jones in Greenville, South Carolina. James Williams, before he died, was on the official position, official executive committee of that school. Randolph Shaler is a graduate of that school, and so on. And these men have answered God's Word in our hands, and we've answered that, calling us misinformers. They have some misinformation. And I call it fundamentalist misinformation in Bible verses. If you're interested in it, we'll send you a copy free and postpaid. Just ask for fundamentalist misinformation in Bible version. The answer there, as we said in God's Word in Hand. They said it's excellent history. We believe it's got many points of misinformation by these fundamentalists who otherwise are correct. Let's go on to point number 27 out of 280. On page number 31, where Pastor Sproul says this. He said, it's important for separatists to remember that God has used both the educated and less educated in his service. He said, some of the arguments that swirl around the issue of the preservation of the KJV are really the fruit of a deeper tension among separatists. Now, this point I'd like you to listen to. That tension is the one that exists between the more educated and less educated wings of fundamentalism. Both sides have at times been guilty of derogatory remarks concerning the other camp. Neither should have the attitude that they are more spiritual, either because they're educated or because they are not educated. End of quote. Let me just simply pause right here and comment on this point number 27 out of 280. This battle is not between the educated and the uneducated. He's trying to say that he's a big educated man with his various degrees that he holds, and they're listed, these degrees are listed in this book. As far as that's concerned, on page 354, he mentions them, and I'll look at that 354, and I'll give you his degrees. He mentions these as if he's on the side of the educated, and other people that are ignorant, I guess, and that don't have any business of knowing anything. He says he has an AB, that's Bachelor of Arts, as a Master of Divinity and a Doctor of Ministry. And those are his degrees. And I suppose that gives him education. He thinks that the battle between the Bibles are between educated. And then he says probably the non-educated, they're the ones that stand for the King James Bible and the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic words that underlie it, but not the educators. He's the bigwig up here. And so he says we've got clashes between these two groups. And there are clashes, but my friend, the clashes are not only between educated and uneducated, it's between educated and educated, as well as uneducated and uneducated. The clashes are not necessarily between the educated and non, but many times it's those that are educated. Listen, we've got plenty of men on our side in this battle that are educated in the things of the Scriptures and the things of the Bible, the things of the languages of the Bible, and we're fighting the picture that Pastor Sproul is trying to produce in his book, God's Word Preserved. Let's go on to point number 28 out of 280 on page number 33. Well, he says this. He says, the Word of God has stood the test, and the most well-recognized version in American culture is the King James Version of the Bible. It is readily apparent how some can believe in the version we have always used as a perfect rock in a turbulent era. End of quote. You see, he says, well, we've used it a long time. Why can't we say it's a rock in a turbulent era? Why don't we stick to it? See, he's friends with everybody and his brother that uses other versions and perversions. He wants everybody to be friendly and not to have a position as far as their Bible. The same is true of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that underlie that Bible. He wants to swim along with all this crowd and not have a strong position, a distinctive position on the issue. So he says, people have always thought it to be a rock, in a perfect rock, in a turbulent era. He doesn't want to put the King James Bible in that place, although he says he loves it. I say, my friends, beware of those who say they love the King James Bible and yet tear it apart in other areas of their life and writing. All right, point number 29 out of 280. On page 33, Pastor Sproul says this. Yet one must ask, did the fathers of fundamentalism, starting going back to the fundamentals, this book now, 1920, did the fathers of fundamentalism, when faced with attacks against the word, try to escape the complexities of the arguments surrounding the accuracy and preservation of God's word by running to a KJV-only position, as some current separatists have done? Now notice what he's saying. KJV-only position. These men in the fundamentals, the fathers, what did they do? My friend, so what did they do? What does that have to do with truth today? In 1920, they did not have all the facts that we have today on this issue. They hadn't debated it. They hadn't gone back and forth and written books on it and studied it out and so on. They didn't have all these facts. Dean Burgon in his books in 1881 and so on, the Defending the King James Bible had not come out, certainly, but in Dean Burgon's day, he had the Revision Revised in 1883. In 1920, they didn't have but 40 years after that came out. Other books by Dean Burgon and others of that caliber. And he says they're not running to a KJV-only position in their analysis. Well, as I say, the fathers of fundamentalism should not dictate, thus saith the Lord, ex cathedra, inerrant pronouncements way back in 1920. Now, that's what this man's book is trying to push. That's why he calls it a subtitle, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs. And if those forefathers, those fundamentalist fathers in the fundamentals back in 1920 didn't believe something, then we shouldn't believe it as historic separatist Baptists or beliefs, the definitions that differ from them. And this is fatally in error. Point number 30. Out of 280. He says this, yet over the last 30 or 40 years, a growing group of conservative Bible believers have rejected their fundamentalist father's position, oh, how horrible, on preservation, and have demanded an emphasis on the perfection of the 1611 or 1769 KJV, the Greek Textus Receptus, the Hebrew Masoretic Text, or some type of synthesis among the scores of TRs and Masoretic texts in existence. End of quote. Then he has a footnote number 32. Footnote number 32, which we'll take up a little bit later. But notice, he says that rejected the fundamentalist father's position. Now, the fundamentalist fathers did not believe that God had promised to preserve his Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. He says the provision and position on preservation have demanded emphasis on the perfection of the 1611 or 1769. The perfection is not there, my friends. Listen, I believe the King James Bible is the only accurate English translation from the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, but I do not claim perfection. I don't think that there are translation mistakes, but perfection lies with the Lord. As for God, my ways are perfect, as the psalmist has said. But man's ways, if I said that there's a perfection of the King James Version, how can I say perfect when the King James Version of 1611 had the Apocrypha in it? How can I say that's perfect? That's rubbish. The Apocrypha is rubbish, filled with lies and imperfections, and the King James Bible translators had no business putting it in their Bible. I'm glad they took it out fast, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, whatever it was, but it's out. It's no longer in our Bible, the King James Bible. And I'm very sorry that the New Revised Standard Version has it in it. I'm very sorry that this so-called the Third Millennium Bible has it in it. The old King James 21, that's now the Third Millennium Bible, has it back in it. Pathetic. But that error-ridden Apocrypha should be in the King James Bible. No, I don't maintain the perfection. I say it's the only accurate translation from the proper version. But as far as the Textus Receptus that underlies it, the words underlying, and the Hebrew Masoretic text that underlie those words, those King James Bible, I believe perfection is there. And I believe God promised to preserve his words. The Lord Jesus promised to preserve the words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Never. Ume, the strongest Greek negative that we have. And I believe the Scriptures. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And just because the fundamentalist fathers had a different position on preservation and didn't believe that God promised to preserve his Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, and that he has done so. Just because the fundamentalist fathers didn't agree with that, I don't have to agree with those fundamentalist fathers. I agree with the Lord Jesus Christ and the New Testament and the Scriptures, and I have a different position than they. They were wrong in their position on Bible preservation. Just like this man here, Michael Sproul, is wrong in his position on Bible preservation. Just like the schools are wrong. Not only his International Bible College that he's president of right there in Tempe, Arizona, is wrong, but Bob Jones University is wrong on it. The Detroit Baptist Seminary is wrong on Bible preservation. Calvary Baptist Seminary is wrong. Central Baptist Seminary. Maranatha Baptist Bible College. All these schools are wrong. Northland Baptist Bible College and many others of the fundamentalist groups are wrong on it. Plus all the new evangelical schools like Dallas Seminary, my alma mater, and so on. So he's making a stand on the fundamentalist father's position on preservation. And if they don't go along with it, we can't change it and we can't do it either. That's why the subdivision of his title, the subtitle of his book, God's Word Preserved, subtitle, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs. And if they didn't have it, we shouldn't have it either. That is plain nonsense. Point number 31 out of 280, still on page number 33. We go down to footnote number 33. Footnote 33, I guess it is, a small type, where he says this. 31, I guess it is. This is the Hebrew text accepted by all believers as the best text, but the KJV-only position claims that it is perfect. Let me just pause right there. He's referring to this footnote on the Masoretic text, the MT, the Masoretic text. It's a text that all believers have gone through, but the King James-only position is that it's perfect. Now, he's slapped in together this KJV-only position, King James-only position, with a Ruckmanism. Ruckmanism believes that the King James Bible is the verbally inspired, God-breathed words, even including the italics, in 1604 to 1611, and that is rubbish. God did not have a second act of inspiration on the King James Bible. It's a translation from the preserved Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. Yes, a translation, an accurate translation, the only accurate one. But he says then the Masoretic text, accepted by the King James Version-only people, as perfect. And he says, well, it's not necessarily perfect and so on, but I believe it is perfect. And what type of Masoretic text is it? What type of text or something? It's the words that underlie our King James Bible. And he quotes Dr. Toll. He quotes Dr. Toll, various other things. In regard to this. Later on, he will see a little bit more. So let's go on. We certainly don't agree with this KJV-only position, as we've said many times, but I do believe the words, Hebrew words, underlying the King James Bible are perfect, and I believe the Greek words that underlie our King James Bible are perfect, and I believe they're preserved words, and I believe the same for the Masoretic, rather the Aramaic words that are underneath our King James Bible as well. Let's go on to point number 32 out of 280. Page 34. My friends who tuned in late, we're talking about this book by Dr. Michael Sproul, God's Word Preserved, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs. He's the pastor of the Tri-City Baptist Church, Tempe, Arizona, International Baptist College in Tempe, Arizona. He's a leader there. We don't agree with this book. We have 280 things we want to talk about. We're on point number 32 out of 280 on page 34, where he says in this footnote, he says, and talks about the Blaney's 1769 or Scribner's 1881, because it is perfectly preserved, and the 1611 is not preserved. 1611, 1790, 69 differ, as well as shown later, Scribner's TR disagrees with other TRs. So he's trying to poke fun as to which TR is it, which words are we talking about when we talk about the Textus Receptus. My position on that, as I said many times before, the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible is basically 1598, the fifth edition of Beza. Beza's fifth edition, 1598, that's basically what's underlying our King James Bible. And I believe the words that underlie it, those are the preserved, inerrant, infallible, inspired words, those Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic words underlying our King James Bible. I don't quibble about which text, receptus, text, what's this, what's that, but that's the one to go by. or whether it's 1611 King James or 1769, these are not the things that are important. The important thing is, what are the proper words that have been preserved for us in the Old Testament Hebrew or Aramaic and the New Testament Greek? My point number 33 out of 280, it's found on page 35. He says in a caption here, what are the views of the KJV only perspective? And he lists some. He lists 1, 2, 3, and so on. And, of course, remember now, he's slapping in the Ruckman position with those of us who stand against the Ruckman position. It just puts them all in together. Point number one, the English corrects the Greek is the view of Peter Ruckman. Well, that's a true statement. I don't agree with it, but that's exactly what Peter Ruckman holds to. The title of the articles is Why the KJV is Superior to the Originals. That's the title of one of his articles. And that expresses this view perfectly. The English version is of those. The English version, those of this persuasion use, is Blaney's 1769 revision of the KJV. End of quote. Now that's what he's saying. He's talking first of all, what are the view of the KJV only perspective? That he says the English corrects the Greek, the view of Peter Ruckman. Do you see why I don't want to be in anything to do with the so-called KJV only position? Because he's slapped in here Peter Ruckman, which we oppose. The English can't correct the Greek from which it was taken. This is stupid. This is ignorant. And Peter Ruckman, who's a smart man, ought not to be saying this crazy thing. He believes that the King James Bible is a separate preservation, a separate inspiration, a separate breathing out of the words of God in English, separate from the original Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek. And therefore, who needs the old Hebrew, old Aramaic, old Greek? We got the new one. We got the English is inspired. That's the book. So throw out the old, keep up the new. This is false, this is unscriptural, this is heresy. And that's why I don't want to be connected with the King James Version only position, because it's part of the position he includes Peter Ruckman in. Well, let's go to point number 34 out of 280. In fact, another view is promoted by different ones and so on. And the point number 3, another view, here's what it is. Another view asserts that, quote, the KJV contains no translation errors. He's quoting me on that. But in reality, the TR is what is perfect, referring to Scrivener's AD, Greek printed text. Now he says, both David Clown and D.A. Waite take this position. Now let's, listen, we're going to start here next time. Time's up for now. Remember, we got into the real position here. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800. And it's get your books from us. Ask your bookstore how to get Defending the King James Bible, how to get the Defined King James Bible, or call us direct. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. My friends, we're going to be coming next week, same time, same station. I want you to be tuning in. We're going to continue this. It's just now getting good. On page number 36, where he recruits your speaker, he says how horrible it is. Here, D.A. Waite is taking a position that he believes that the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible is a perfect Greek text. Exactly what I believe. Going to pick this up, and he says David Cloud holds the same thing. He's quoting from us and defending the King James Bible and so on. So this is getting good. And he attacks your speaker, and we're going to be answering that. I want you to stay tuned. These are important matters, my friend, especially for those of us who stand for our King James Bible. Well, stay tuned next time, same station. Until then, so long. All right, we're talking this week again on this book that's been fairly recently published, and the title of it is, it's published in 2005, in fact, by Dr. Michael D. Sproul. He's the pastor of the Tri-State Baptist Church, and he's connected in the leadership of the International Baptist College, which is part of that church. The book is called God's Word Preserved. God's Word Preserved. Not His words, but simply His Word. Notice that. His subtitle is A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs. And if it's not historic, he doesn't want to hear about it. And if the men, the fundamentalist fathers, so-called, didn't write about it in the Fundamentals, 1920, he doesn't want to hear about that. This is 2000 and 6 as it's being broadcast and taped, 2006. And he wants us to retreat to 1920 mentality. And if the Fundamentalist Fathers didn't say it in 1920 in the Fundamentals, we shouldn't believe it. We shouldn't hold to it. It should not be true. Crazy talk, as far as I'm concerned. Absolutely insane talk to restrict truth to what these men may have written or may not have written in the 1920 edition of the so-called Fundamentals. Well, we're on number 34, item number 34, out of 280 items I want to talk about. And Ron Bates, page number 36. Remember last week we left you hanging somewhat. He talks about the different positions on the King James only side. What are the views of the King James only perspective? The first view, of course, the English corrects the Greek. That's the view of Dr. Peter Ruckman. He mentions a view of our friend Dr. Alan Dickerson. He claims, quote, we do not believe the King James, and so on. We do believe, rather, the King James Version, AV 1611, afterwards referred to as the KJV, is to be the infallible, inerrant translation of Scriptures and is the preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people of today, and so on. We do not believe it contains any mistakes, unquote. And so he thinks that's part of this King James only. Well, that's he says it's essentially the same as Ruckman. Well, it's not the same as Ruckman at all, but he puts that in there. Number three view, another view, he says, is the KJV contains no translational errors. Now, that's my view, but in reality, the TR is what is perfect, referring to Scrivener's AD 1894, the Greek printed text, unquote. Now, that's what I believe. I take that position. The King James contains no translational errors. That's point number 34 out of 280. But in reality, the text receptus is what is perfect. And, of course, it's not in a quotation, but that's what he's saying. Yes, the words underlying our King James Bible, both the Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek words underlying it, are perfect. They're inerrant. They're inspired words. They're preserved words to this very day. The Greek, the Hebrew, the Aramaic words underlying the King James Bible. Then he says, David Cloud and D.A. Waite take this position. He has a footnote there in regard to footnote number 42. And he quotes me from Defending the King James Bible, Collingswood, New Jersey. And then also in footnote number 35, D.A. Waite states, and he quotes me, here's what he said, the words of the received Greek and Masoretic Hebrew texts that underlie the King James Bible are the very words which God has preserved down through the centuries, being the exact, authors explicitly, the exact words of the originals themselves. As such, I believe they are inspired words. I believe they are preserved words. I believe they are inerrant words. I believe they are infallible words. End of quote. Quoting me. Well, I certainly agree with that quote because it's quoting me entirely. And then he says the problem for Waite is that 230 also likely view, let's see, 230, let's see, doesn't, oh, 32 times, King James. Well, anyway, but that's point number 34. Now, that's our position, that the King James Bible has no translation errors. We believe that they've at least picked one of the proper words and one of the proper grammatical rules that they've followed, and that the text receptus underlying the Greek, that is, words underlying the King James, that's where perfection lies, that's where inerrancy lies, and the Hebrew words as well, and the Aramaic words. So that's point number 34, and that's the third different view of the so-called King James only. And then he has a fourth one, and that is the KJV is the preserved word of God for the English-speaking people. The fifth one in this group of the King James only, one finds a correct reading within the simplicity of the multiplicity of the TRs. So we got to find all the different TRs in order to do that. Well, let's make a few more comments. Let's go to point number 35 out of 280. Point number 285, number 35, rather, out of 280, where he says in the footnote again, what am I going to do with the 232 times the KJV does not follow the Masoretic text in the Old Testament, but rather adopts the reading of the Septuagint? End of quote. Well, my friend, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what the follows. I believe the words that underlie our King James Bible are God's words that have been preserved And I don't accept this 232 times they follow some other words other than the King James, other than the Masoretic Hebrew text at all. I believe that's a false statement. Don't know where he gets it. He's quoting from Kevin Bowder, Beecham, Roy Beecham and Kevin Bowder, and I just simply don't agree with that at all. They follow the Hebrew text, the words underlying it, and if they have a different Hebrew text than something else, they've discovered it from the Hebrew words that they've found, and that's what the basis of the Old Testament King James Bible is. And point number 36 out of 280, here on page number 37 of this book that we're talking about, he talks about here the fact that the New King James Version translation originates from the same Old Testament and New Testament text as the 1611 King James Version. End of quote. That's false. I found at least three places in the New Testament, in the Greek text, where the New King James Version departs from the Textus Receptus and goes along with the critical text of Westcott and Hort, United Bible Societies, or the Nestle Allen text. So that just simply isn't true. As far as the Old Testament, they have places where they claim that they've either followed the Masoretic text of Daniel Bomberg or some of the text of the, for instance, the Bibliobreca of Stuttgartensia or of Kittel, which is not the same as our King James Bible Old Testament Hebrew followed. My point number 37 out of 280, this man, Pastor, whatever his name is, Pastor Sproul says the following. He says, Scrivener's TR text, Textus Receptus text, however, is the printed Greek text that the KJV translators created in 1611. Wait a minute. They did not create a text in 1611. This is absolutely false. I don't know where Pastor Sproul gets this statement. They had no creation. They followed basically, within 99% of the time, the Beza's text, 5th edition, 1598. Now, that was a standard, traditional text. They did not create any text at all. Sometimes they followed other texts, other places. In about 190 places, Dr. Scribner mentions that they followed some other texts on five or six different other things, whether it was Erasmus or whether it was the Stevens or Complutensian Polyglot or something else. They've kept to it, the Beza's 5th edition, 1598. They were not revising and creating some text. That's just absolutely false. I don't know where he gets that point. Point number 37 out of 280. He says, several years ago, Waite calculated a chart showing how reliable Blaney's 1769 revision of the 1611 supposedly there was for modern America. The discussion does not allow the space to show how foolish this reading test was. How foolish? But the same author has not published the defined King James Bible and gives definitions to all the hard or acronistic words of the 1769 KJV. Well, now, he's talking about the, unquote, he's talking about the chart showing the, how readable the text is. Well, this isn't me. This Waite here is D.A. Waite Jr., my son, who's written the readability of the authorized version. He compares seven different English versions by computer studies and goes after it and does an excellent scholarly fashion. And he did the same thing for the Defined King James Bible, D.A. Waite Jr. My son, D.A. Jr., has done this. And it was alleged that already the average reading level of any translation, any American, so on, was, let me see here. Of course, according to Waite, the 1769 KJV was already at the average reading level of any American, ironically, of any American. It doesn't make sense. I guess any American, period. Well, it is a small video. The reading level there, the average that D.A. Waite Jr. makes on this readability, and you ought to get that book, by the way, just ask for the readability of the King James Bible or the Authorized Version, and we'll tell you how to get it. Simply call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The average readability is the fifth grade level. The average readability, fifth to the sixth grade level of the King James Bible and the other Bibles as well, based upon the readability indices that are standard in the trade. He went through the computer studies. He went through all seven of these translations and he showed how readable the King James was by comparison, and slightly more readable than these others that was mentioned. All right, let's go on then. That's point number 37 out of 280. Let's go on to point number 38. We're on now page 38 of this book, 38 of this book, God's Word Preserved. And there it talks about the one of the five, the fifth one, that's a section or fifth group, I should say, that's in this so-called King James only group. The last few suggest that one finds the correct reading within the multiplicity of the TRs, the Textus Receptus. Then he writes this down here, weight and cloud, they could hold, let me see, so strongly, not any association with, if it does not seem likely that, like weight and cloud, they could hold to the exact perfection of the TR and the KJV translators created. Here's what I want to say. Here again, he has the crazy assertion that there is the exact perfection of the text receptors that the King James Version translators created. Again, the King James translators did not create any text of the Greek. They followed the text of Beza, 5th edition, 1598. And that's what Dr. Scribner has maintained. He's the best Greek scholar of the time that the 1611 was revised by the English Revised Version people in 1881. Scribner was on that revision committee, and he was told to make a text, exactly followed by the King James translators. And he selected for the text, and he followed the text of Beza's 5th edition, 1598. He said in about 190 places, he says that in the appendix, and this is available. Scribner's Greek text is available from us here, published by the Dean Burgon Society, and available here from the Bible for Today or the Dean Burgon Society. Number 1670 is what it is. We'll send it to you. We'll tell you how to get your copy. He put in the very appendix of this the 190 places where they chose to follow something other than Beza's 5th edition, 1598. But 190 places is minute, a minute fraction of places compared to the over 140,000 Greek words in the New Testament. 140,000. What's 190? Small, small, where they didn't follow the Beza's text, 5th edition, 1598. They did not create a Greek text, as this man, Pastor Sproul, lyingly and falsely declares that they did. They followed a text, Beza, 5th edition, 1598. I don't know where he gets this thing, but he's really trying to rub it in. He repeats it quite often. Let's go to point number 39. Point number 39, out of a total of 280, if I can find it. Point number 239, yes, in a footnote here on page number 40, where he says this. Positionally, this is identical to D.A. Waite or David Cloud's view. This is identical. And Pastor Sproul, in footnote, or rather point number 39, in the footnote here on page 40, he quotes the quotation from Dr. Paisley, and he says, in Paisley's statement, he says, being a translation, talking about the King James Bible, does not alter one iota of its integrity, inerrancy, and infallibility as God's Word. That's from Paisley's plea for the old sword. And then he says this, positionally, it is identical to D.A. Waite or David Cloud and our view. But practically, Dr. Paisley does and have a problem fellowshipping with and so on. So does not have. So this is, of course, it is our view that there's no variation. We don't use the term infallibility, and as I said before, inerrancy for the King James translation. That's the terms for God's terms, but it is accurate, the only accurate translation that we have. Point number 40 out of 280, also on page number 40, Pastor Sproul talks about when a modern translation, like the New King James Version, translated from the same Greek and Hebrew text as the old King James Version, appeared, the attacks came quickly and furiously. Well, it's not the furious attacks are the fact that the New King James was not translated from the same Greek and Hebrew text as the old King James. If you look at the preface of the New King James Version, they say in the Old Testament they used the Old Latin, they used the Latin Vulgate, they used the Masoretic text of Daniel Bamberg, yes, which is the basis of the King James Bible, but they also used Biblia Hebraica of Stuttgart and of Rudolf Kittel and other things. In the New Testament, they claim it was text for acceptance. As I said before, I found at least three places just by accident where they follow the critical text. So this is not true at all. Point number 41 out of 280, also on page number 40, where Pastor Sproul says that this book, in like manner, this book understands the KJV onlyism as more than a simple doctrinal position. It is a spirit or mood. It is a spirit that suspects, vilifies, and separates itself from other godly separatists over the matter of versions. End of quote. Let me just repeat that. This King James Version only is, and we see, I don't want that term. That's not a part of our reasoning understanding. He's got five different groups. He just lops all in to call it King James only. Well, he should distinctly specify if he's talking about Ruckmanism or whatever. But he says it appears that it's a spirit or mood. It is a spirit that suspects, vilifies, and separates itself from other godly separatists over the matter of versions. Now, wait a minute. We are not the ones that are separating us ourselves from the critical text fundamentalists. As we've said many times before in the broadcast, the resolution that was passed by the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship, whose leaders are tied in with Bob Jones University, that resolution of 2001, I think, was the year that it came out. That resolution says if the people that hold to the King James Bible and the Greek text that underlie it, if they don't repent, they claim that we're vilifying them, they claim that we're actually libeling and slandering them, which is not true. We quote them exactly what they say and what they believe. If we don't repent of this, then we're to be treated, as Titus suggests in Titus chapter 3, as a heretic. The heretics, after two or three admonitions, first and second admonition, reject. And so they are the ones that are rejecting us. We'd be very glad to go to Bob Jones University and talk about the text receptus and the King James Bible issue. We'd be very happy to go to Detroit Baptist Seminary, or Calvary Baptist Seminary, or Central Baptist Seminary, or Maranatha Baptist Bible College, or Northland Baptist Bible College, and these fundamental schools, and to tear into the falsities of many of the things that they're teaching there regarding the Bible. And so, as far as vilifying, we don't make people villains. We disagree with their views. We disagree with what they're reading and writing and arithmetic, what they're doing. We disagree with their theology and their doctrines in these areas, but we don't make them villains. They're just mistaken, or they're not giving the facts as they ought to give, but it's the positions that we're against. And the positions that separate us are not the fact that we're separating from Christian believers. We have no doubt that they're fundamental, that they're believing the scriptures, that they're saved people, many of these people that are leading. And so that's our position. My point number 42 out of 280, I'm moving over to page number 41, where they say, sadly, in an effort to defend their Bible that they believe is under liberal attack, many pastors and laymen have engaged in one of the most divisive and destructive battles among independent Baptists since the Campbellite controversies of the 19th century and new evangelical battles of the 20th century. End of quote. Let me just pause right there. The battle that we have is for the words of God. The battle that I have, the Bible for Today Baptist Church and the Bible for Today Ministry and our Dean Bergen Society, is for the very words of God to be preserved and kept in their integrity. Hebrew words of the Old Testament, Aramaic words of the Old Testament, Greek words of the New Testament. And we have not engaged in a divisive and destructive battle. It is the people like Pastor Sproul and others at Bob Jones University and other people that are in that league and in that group and in that fold and in that group and class, they are the ones that are starting the divisiveness, the destructiveness. They have inserted in their schools and colleges Greek classes that destroy the text receptor that underlies our King James Bible. Now, Pastor Sproul can say all he wants to about how he uses the King James Version, how his college, his International Baptist College, uses the King James Bible and how he loves it. But when he tears apart the very words that underlie it and says that those are not necessarily the preserved words, these Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic words, I have a bone to pick with the man, and I disagree with him. I don't believe he has the facts correct. And we're not the ones that are divisive. We fight and hold the battle lines for our King James Bible that Bible-believing Christians have used down through the centuries and down through the years, and we defend it because it's the only accurate English translation of the proper, preserved, inerrant, fundamental Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that we have before us. All right, let's go to point number 43 out of 280, also on page 41. He says, it is important for separatists to understand their history. Well, end of quote. Why? Why do we have to understand our history? Are the old men always right? You see, that's one of the subtitles of this book, God's Word Preserved, a defense of historic separatist definitions and beliefs. What if those men were wrong? Why should we understand necessarily their history? That's good to have history, but why should we be bound to the history if the history's wrong? And he so worships history that it can't be wrong. The 1920s, he goes all the way back from 2006, 1920, 85 years back, and says, these be thy gods, as it were, that brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of darkness, and follow them, fundamentalist fathers. That's almost exalting them to the point of the Council of Nicaea or the Pope of Rome or some traditions of the Church, the Roman Catholic Church, saying that these fathers must be followed. And so I don't buy that. Why we have to have them understand the history and to be stopped and stuck in history? Have we never learned anything since 1920? These men may not have had all the facts, and so forth and so on. Let's go on to point number 43. That was 43. Number 44 out of 280. Page number 41. They talk about problem of fellowshipping with Bob Jones University. And he says, quoting some person here. Further, he states, I guess Paisley, that this new doctrine called dual inspiration, which affirms that the process extends to the authorized version, is known as Ruckmanism, after Peter Ruckman, who popularized this doctrine and its beginnings it had its beginnings in Rome. That's what he's saying. No translation can take the place of the original autographs of Scripture. This is page 102. Well, I believe that's correct, and I don't believe in this dual inspiration. I believe that Peter Ruckman is wrong in this. I believe that we do not have a second inspiration in the King James Bible, 1604 to 1611. God breathed out his Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, and the King James Bible is merely the only accurate translation in the English language of those breathed out Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. Double inspiration is not a biblical doctrine at all. Well, let's move on to point number 45, if I can find it. Point number 45, as we move along, we're now in chapter 2. Chapter 2 of this book by Pastor Sproul, and the chapter 2 is called God's Initial Communication to Man. And then he says, Definitions Concerning the Original Writings. That's his subtitle of this chapter. Then he quotes Andrew Fuller. He says, Where any passage appears to be mistranslated, it is doubtless proper for those who are well acquainted with the original languages to point it out and to offer, according to the best of their abilities and judgment, the true meaning of the Holy Spirit. So that's chapter 2 is what he's doing in God's Initial Communication to Man. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man have any, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. My friends, we're going to continue this analysis of this book, God Preserved Word, or God's Word Preserved. the subtitle, A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs by Dr. Michael Sproul. It's a 400-page book. We're answering it. We're going to be continuing on the page of the number that follows. I think it's number 45 out of 280 items we're going to talk about. This man does not believe that we should question the 1920 statement of the Fundamentalist Fathers, but to go ahead with it, and we believe we should stand for the Bible, not for the 1920 statement. Okay, see you next broadcast, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgundt Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 988. 988 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgundt Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@BibleForToday.org. Our website is BibleForToday.org, where you can hear 24/7 verse-by-verse preaching, Romans through Revelation, from our Bible for Today Baptist Church. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its ninth printing, 350 pages, hardback edition, might I ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you received your Defined King James Bible, published by the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, not another Bible in the world like it, 12-point large print, 10-point medium print, 54,000 are printed and distributed worldwide. Why not get one for yourself and one for your friends, the Defined King James Bible? All right, we're back to our book, God's Word Preserved for Us, and this is by Dr. Michael Sproul. We don't agree with the book. His subtitle is A Defense of Historic Separatist Definitions and Beliefs. And we have 280 things we want to say about it, and we're now beginning, I think, about number 45. So let's begin at this point. All right, number 45 out of 280. Point number 45 is found over on page number 50. On page 50 is what we read here, number 45. He says, sadly, just as Americans are unaware of their founding historical document that all military officers swear to uphold and defend, so are fundamentalists unaware of their founding document, the fundamentals, their own history, and its theological discussions. End of quote. He says, this is the reason this book is written in a historical, definitional format. End of quote. My friend, if this Pastor Sproul thinks that we have as a foundation of Bible-believing Christianity the fundamentals, this man is off his rocker. This man doesn't know right from wrong. This man has no business tying us, biblical Christianity, with the fundamentals of 1920. The Christianity of today must be founded on the Bible. The Bible. And if the fundamentals are outside the Bible and against the Bible, we don't follow the fundamentals. Now, it's true. The United States Constitution is the basis for our United States government. It's a man-made organization, and a man-made document, rather, the Constitution, but it's what we follow. And if we're trying to be constitutionalists, that's one thing. We have to know what it means and what it says. But we don't go back to the silly fundamentals of 1920, written by human beings, and saying we've got to be stuck in their rut. And that's all that this man, Pastor Sproul, is doing. Stick in the rut. Stay with that old 1920 document, the fundamentals. Don't move out of it. They're right. Anybody that departs from it is wrong. No, my friend. If they have departed from the words of God, the Bible, they are the ones that are wrong, not us. And Pastor Sproul is absolutely dead wrong when he tells us we ought to follow that rut of 1920. Point number 46 out of 280, also found on page 50. He talks about, I have a question about this. He says, from the Middle Ages, godly separatist groups from the Middle Ages who did not have exactly the same text as believers have today in the 1769 KJV Did they believe that the only one group hidden away in alpine valleys had the only perfect Bible, and others might have a good Bible, but only these peasants had the perfect Bible, end of quote? My friends, we don't can say it's a perfect Bible. I don't like to use that word perfect. It has no translation mistakes. I don't believe that. I believe it doesn't have any translation mistakes, but I don't call these words perfect. I believe that the King James Bible is based upon the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And just like those other Bibles that they were using, they weren't as accurate as the King James. The Bishop's Bible, the Great Bible, the Tyndale Bible, these are Bibles that, the Geneva Bible, these are Bibles that are founded upon the same Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words that the King James was founded upon, but they weren't as accurate. That's why John Reynolds would plead with the King of England and say, "May Your Majesty be pleased that a new translation be found and be begun. The ones extant, that is in existence right now, the ones extant, not answering to the originals." Not answering to the originals. And that was the problem with these other Bibles. They didn't answer the originals strongly enough. And that's why our King James Bible was created and made and translated by these excellent translators, skilled men, from 1604 to 1611. Point number 47 out of 280, over on page number 51. Where it talks about special revelation. It says, in its broadest sense, special revelation includes the entire content of all 66 books of the Bible that God moved upon the holy men of old to write. And so since the revelation has a work of God, was a work of God himself, it should be presented that God's word is absolute truth with no mixture of any error. And then specific revelation speaks to the very words of Scripture. So it talks about word and words and the content only and the truth. Now, I don't know where this man comes down on the inspiration of Scripture or the preservation, I should say, of Scripture, but it sounds to me like he's getting similar to Bob Jones University and these other books where the word of God is simply the message or the thinking or the thoughts or the ideas or the concepts, but not the words of the Bible. It's not simply the content. Our content of all 66 books, but special revelation includes all the words. That's simply the content. That's a loose statement indeed. Point number 48 out of 280 is found on page number 53. And he says this. This is a straw man argument. And he says, fundamentalists accept the doctrine of perfection of the original writings. Let me just pause right there. If that's all they agree with, the original writings, perfection, they don't have any original writings. Therefore, fundamentalists who think like Pastor Sproul is thinking here have no foundation. They have no perfection if it's only the original writings that David and Paul and Moses and Peter made reference to and wrote. Then he says, however, sometimes those in the KJV-only movement diminish this perfection. A KJV-only pastor once said, it does not really matter whether the original writings were perfect or not. No one today has ever seen them. And so on. Well, this is important. No one has seen them. And if they limit perfection to the original writings, they have no perfection. First of all, how do they know they're perfect if they've never seen them? This is a guess. This is a hypothesis. And these men that don't believe we have preserved for us the original words of Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek have no authentic, perfect copy of anything. They're at sea. They don't know what the originals were. They don't know what to believe about them. They know nothing about these things. And this is a terrible, horrific matter indeed that they're faced with. And this is, of course, what they're saying, what they're teaching. It's a straw man. If they do not have a preserved copies of these Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words, if they don't have preserved copies of these, how do they know that even the originals were perfect? They simply don't. It's a jump and a leap of faith, and that's all in the world that it is. A leap of faith completely. And so this is a terrible, terrible thing. We believe that the Scriptures are clear. The Lord Jesus promised to preserve His words, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. I believe He's done so. And I believe the proper preserved words are the words that underlie our text of the King James Bible, the underlying Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. That's the word. Those are the words that He has preserved for us. Important to see that. All right, point number 49 out of 280. He says, fundamentalist fathers mimicking and adapting the liberals' line of argument against these great men. So that's what he says. Sadly, the pastor does know enough about his own history to understand that he is attacking. She should say, this pastor doesn't know enough about his history to understand that he's attacking his fundamentalist fathers by mimicking and adopting the liberals' line of argument against these great men. End of quote. Well, so what? So what if this pastor is mimicking and mocking and poking fun at the fundamentalist fathers? Who are they? Are they perfect? Were they perfect in 1920 that wrote the Fundamentals? Fundamentalist fathers, he keeps referring to that. Fundamentalist fathers. He might as well worship the Pope. He might as well be a Roman Catholic worshiping the Pope and the saints and maybe Mary and so on. If he's got a human standard instead of the words of God as a standard, he's in deep trouble. Deep trouble is this Pastor Sproul who writes this book and exalts the fundamentalist fathers. This is humanism. This is a worship of man. This is idolatry. It's idolatry worshiping the teachings of men instead of the teachings of the words of God. And I'm against it. You can see that by the tone of my voice, I'm sure. Let's go on to point number 50. We're over here now on page number 55. Page number 55, where Pastor Sproul says this. Many in the KJV only movement, rather, assert preservation and inspiration in near identical language, and in so doing are willing to lump preservation into a faith issue, but preservation is different than creation or the virgin birth, for it is repeatable and observable. Now, many assert preservation and inspiration in near identical language. Now, what is wrong with having preservation and inspiration in near identical language? They're separate. They're not identical. I don't agree with that, but in a sense it's correct. The scriptures in the original given to us by Moses and the ones that wrote them, those were given by inspiration of God. Those were God-breathed. Those words were God-breathed out. And we believe in a verbal plenary inspiration or God breathing out of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. Verbal plenary inspiration. Breathing out of those original Hebrew and Greek words and Aramaic words. Now, preservation is what we believe, I believe, that we have in preserving those verbally preserved words and inspired words. We have verbal plenary preservation. Verbal, that is, the words are preserved. Plenary, that is, fully, from Genesis to Revelation. Verbal plenary, not only inspiration, but preservation. And so there's no problem with asserting these things on an equal footing and the equal basis. If God has not deigned to preserve verbally and plenarily his words, then why did he have them verbally and plenarily inspired in the first place? Since God breathed. This is our point exactly. All right, let's go to point number 51 out of 280. This is on page 56. Professor Sproul says this. The location of God's preserved word is never specifically stated in Scripture other than that is in heaven, Psalm 119:89. Now notice he talks about the preserved word instead of the preserved words, God's preserved words. My friend, the Lord Jesus stated this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the same verse, three different times, as if we needed to have it repeated to us. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. My words. This is stated in Scripture. It's stated in Matthew 5 and verse 18. Not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. These are important points, and they're stated very clearly in Scripture. And to have him say that it's never specifically stated in Scripture, the location of God's preserved words, we've got to search for them. We've got to throw away the Westcott and Hort type of things. Throw away the Gnostic documents of Alexandria, Egypt. Throw away the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts in all their groups and stick with the traditional text that our church fathers have preserved for us and all the others have copied down through the centuries. Let's go to number 52, point number 52 out of 280. He has a caption here. Does inspiration extend to copies either in Greek or English? Well, in Greek it extends, yes. In English, no. He says this, Some critics of fundamentalist historic interpretation of Scripture. Now notice, you're getting historic interpretation of Scripture concerning inspiration and its extent, like D.A. Waite, claim the KJV translators adopted exact word choice. Exact word choice. Double inspiration of the original authors of Scripture as they created a new edition of the text receptus that would be here the basis of the 1611 KJV. End of quote. My friend, this is nonsense. This is nonsense. We don't say the King James translators adapted their own double inspiration. He says it's a double inspiration because the King James translators used a Greek text. He says that they found it themselves. They created. No, my friend. The King James Bible translators used the text of Theodore Beza, one of the reformers out there in Geneva, friend of John Calvin. And Theodore Beza had a fifth edition that was written in 1598. And those are the words the King James Bible translators followed, with few exceptions. About 190 places where they chose some other source for their New Testament. As mentioned in Dr. Scrivener's book, we have reprinted this. It's sure it's available if you want to tell you how to get it. It's called Scrivener's Annotated Greek New Testament. Scrivener's Annotated Greek New Testament, hardback or genuine leather. We have those available. And this is certainly false to say and imply that the King James translators devised and created a Greek text of their own. Point number 53 out of 280 talks about, in his article on D.A. Waite's website, Jeffrey Koo, he's our man, one of our advisory council men of the Dean Berger Society, Jeffrey Koo writes, quote, "We believe that all the text receptus editions are pure, but there is one that is purest, the one underlying the King James Version." End of quote. Well, I agree with that. There are the TRs out there. Erasmus had one in 1516. But 82 years later, Beza had one, 5th edition, 1598. Scrivener had one, 1550, and other dates. Elsevier's had one. Complutensian Polyglot had one, and so on. But we believe, and I believe, and Dr. Koo believes, they're in Singapore. He's the dean of the Far Eastern Bible College, and he is assistant pastor of one of the Bible Presbyterian churches out there in Singapore. And he's a friend of mine, and is a good writer and a good author, and I agree with him. The purest are the words underlying, the text receptus underlying our King James Bible. Point number 54 out of 280, he says this is a KJV-only author, admitting that the KJV translators made text critical choices and created a completely new text that was not in front of them, end of quote, but was original to them. Now that's absolute false. Here he is repeating again that the King James translators made up their own Greek text that was new and different, that never had seen the light of day before. My friends, as I said before, let me repeat myself, this is a blatant falsehood that Pastor Sproul has given and given and given repeatedly in this book of his, in God's Word Preserved. He says in this page 56, let me repeat it again, this is a KJV-only author admitting that the KJV translators made text-critical choices to create a completely new text that was not in front of them, but was original to them, saying that they created a Greek text. My friends, this is absolute hogwash, absolute falsehood. They used the text, as Dr. Scrivener has said, they used the text that was of Beza's text, 1598 was the date of it, 5th edition of Beza. And Dr. Scrivener, as we said many times before in the broadcast, has had about 190 places where they used some other text, maybe 6 or 7 other different things, 190 places out of over 140,000 Greek words in the New Testament, a very tiny portion of those words indeed. But they used a Greek text. They did not invent it. They did not create it. And Michael Sproul should know better than that and know that it was a text that was already in existence, one of the standard texts. It was 82 years after Erasmus 1516 Greek text, which was text receptus as well. Let us go on to point number 55 out of 280, found over here on page 57. where he says, talk about KJV onlyism. And he says, if the KJV translators, choices, created a new edition of the TR, Text Receptus, that is the right one, that is the right one, is this not double inspiration? Is this not Ruckmanism? Who believes that God inspired the translators to create a new edition of the TR by their word choices in the English? Absolutely false. Dr. Kuhn never stated that, never believes that. And this man, Pastor Sproul, is adding to the scriptures and adding to the words of this man, Dr. Kuhn, adding to my words, completely different type of argument that he's using. He says, then he says, quote, the exact Greek printed TR of the text critical choices made by the translators did not appear until Scrivener printed it in 1881. Almost 300 years later, end of quote. Absolute poppycock. Falsehood, falsehood, falsehood. This was in existence in 1598. And to say that Scrivener produced it and had not seen the light of day before that time is crazy talk. My friends, this man should go to study the scriptures and study the Greek text and not be ranting and raving against some of us who stand for the text of Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. He should study the issues. And to make this perverted statement that these King James Bible translators created a text that had never seen the light of day until Scrivener printed it, my friends, Dr. Scrivener admits in his preface, I wish this man, Pastor Sproul, would get a copy of Scrivener's annotated Greek New Testament. Read the introduction, where he states very clearly that this was the text of Beza, Theodore Beza, 5th edition, 1598. This stands the test of time, and to have Pastor Sproul try to get people who are reading this book of his to believe that they have a double inspiration, and the King James translators claim they were inspired of God, and to say that Pastor Kuhn believes this, absolute falsehood. He never stated it. He doesn't have it in quotation marks. He extrapolates. He claims that we have a new double inspiration belief, which is absolutely false. The King James translators didn't inspire anything, didn't create anything, and didn't breathe out the words of God, and didn't invent a Greek text. It was already in existence, and it was in Beza's 5th edition, 1598, taken from the traditional manuscripts that were found in those days that are true to the original writings of the apostles. Well, so much for these lies of Pastor Sproul. Absolute falsehoods and lies, and yet this man is a Christian believer, a Baptist fundamentalist, and stretching the truth and twisting the truth and lying through his teeth. Sad indeed. And I'm upset about it. You can see that by the tone of my voice. Let's go on to number 56 out of 280 over here on page 58. See what we have over in this page. He says, if the KJV of the TR behind the 1611 has the exact words of God, yet the translator's exact text never appeared before 1611. Well, that's false right there. It did appear in 1598, before 1611. Beza. Then he says, then inspiration is the only method by which the Holy Spirit could have guided the Anglican priests to the exact wording of Scripture when they had many choices in various passages. End of quote from there. My friend, again, he repeats this error, this absolute strong falsification of truth to say that they had no text ever appearing before 1611, the exact text. My friend, it was Beza, 5th edition, 1598, except for 190 places where they chose six or seven other possibilities. Sometimes they used Stephen, sometimes they used Erasmus and so on, but basically 99% Beza of the 140,000 plus Greek words in that Greek New Testament. Well, let's go on to number 57 out of 280, point number 57. According to me, he says now, here Waite wrote, I suppose he's D.A. Waite, here's what he says, and he's quoting me from his footnote, he puts a footnote under it, but here's the quotation, quote, it is my own personal conviction and belief. Now, my friends, I believe this. He's quoting accurately, as far as I know. It is my own personal conviction and belief. After studying this subject since 1971, that the words of the received Greek and Masoretic Hebrew texts that underlie the King James Bible are the very words which God has preserved down through the centuries, being the exact words of the originals themselves. As such, I believe they are inspired words. I believe they are preserved words. I believe they are inerrant words. I believe they are infallible words. Unquote from D.A. Waite, your speaker. Now, certainly I agree with that quotation, point number 57. I certainly do, and I believe it. Let's go on to point number 58 out of 280 points. Still on page 58, where Pastor Sproul says this, quote, D.A. Waite asserts that the inspiration should extend to the KJV translator's choices of the new edition of the TR that they made when they translated the KJV, as well as the Masoretic text. End of quote. My friend, what sort of falsehood does this man continue to make? Puts words in my mouth saying the inspiration extends and should extend to the KJV translator's choices of a new edition? Again, it's not a new edition. It's an old edition. 1598 precedes 1611, last time I went to school. The King James translators began their work in 1604. 1598, fifth edition of Beza, came out in 1598. 1598, 6 years before they ever began to work on their King James Bible. 1598 to 1604, 6 years before. And this is not a new text that they made up, and it's not inspired by the King James translators. These were words that were given by inspiration of God and copied from the originals, and we believe they're authentic, and we believe that they're inerrant, but the words that were underlining our King James Bible, the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic words are inerrant, infallible, they're inspired words, as we said in the quotation before. And to say that this is a new edition is absolute falsehood. We go on to point number 59 out of 280. Quote, based on his attacks on the New King James Version, talking about my attacks, and articles on his website, Waite apparently extends this exact perfection to the KJV translators because they created their own TR, Text Receptus, when they translated. End of quote. Absolute falsehood. I don't extend inspiration to the KJV translators. I don't extend that inspiration in any way, shape, or form. I simply say that it's my personal belief, and I want Pastor Sproul to get it straight, it's my personal belief that the words underlying our King James Bible, whether Hebrew words, Aramaic words, or Greek words, are the exact words of the original themselves. And the King James translators didn't invent them. They didn't make them up. They weren't inspired by the King James translators. He's putting words in our mouths that are not there, taking a belief that they claim he claims is our belief, and it's not our belief. It's not my belief. It's not the belief of Dr. Koo of Singapore either. Sad indeed are these charges. The perfection, I believe, was made because these King James writers took Beza's 5th edition, 1598, in all but 190 places where they chose some other text, some other edition, some other words that were then in existence. Point number 60 out of 280. Also on page number 58, where we say this. Well, we're going to pause right here, my friends. We're hot and bothered about this, all these lies and falsehoods. Time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, he shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your books over Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you're going to have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. We're going to bring this up next broadcast. Hope you'll stay tuned. We're answering this book, a terrible book, God's Word Preserved by Michael Sproul. See you next time, same time, same station. Until then, so long.